Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Shine Radio's Growing Together is sponsored by DeMello & Company. Financial advice for you, your family and your future.
Welcome to Growing Together, the gardening podcast from Petersfield Shine Radio. I'm Steve Amos and I'm joined up here on a beautiful evening by Coxie.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, it is a glorious evening, especially as we've had a few days where it's promised much, delivered little, apart from more rain.
I know, it's been wet, hasn't it?
It has
been. And cold.
Yeah, especially this time of year.
Yeah. I mean, we're the middle of June. 17th of June today we're recording this, and it has been cold. I mean, it's glorious today. We're both here. You've got your legs out. I'm in a T-shirt. It has been cold, hasn't it?
It has. And hasn't it affected the growth of some plants?
It has. And we'll come on to that in a minute. In this week's episode, we've got some very special guests that we're going to talk about later. And we're going to talk about what's hot, what's not, what's growing well at the allotments.
Plenty to discuss.
Plenty to discuss. Absolutely. It should be a cracker. So, Coxie, yeah, you're absolutely right. You're saying it's been cold and the plants have just been sat there, haven't they?
They have. If I look at my French beans, my broad beans, and even my runner beans, there hasn't been a lot of growth in the last 2 to 3 weeks. It's only possibly in the last, 48 hours, I've seen anything showing signs of growing. And I think that's been the same with your sweet peas, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, yesterday I was up here, and they were in bud, don't get me wrong, but I mean, what are they, 2 foot high? This time last year, they were 6 foot high. But there's flowers on them, so I'll be picking some of those to take home this evening.
It's certainly showing that the season has changed. If anyone wanted to have an argument for environmental change, then I think what we're witnessing this year is proof in the pudding. You know, when we consider the amount of rain we had at the beginning of the year, through the spring, and now the results.
I know, it's been crazy, hasn't it? And talking to people, as you know, I was in Chelsea.
Yes, yes. I didn't quite make it to Chelsea, did
well,
I?
The thing is, Coxie, with this podcast, okay, so Claire and I did it, as you know, for years, and I never went to Chelsea either. So you have to wait your turn.
No. So what you're saying is, yes, when there were two, you got two invites. When again there were two, but one of them was me, you only got one invite.
No. I never went to Chelsea.
So you never made it?
No. Claire went on her own.
Oh, I see.
No, I managed to, last year, I managed to wangle a press pass for Hampton Court, but this year, you know, they've been super tight and you have to go through this quite arduous application process to get a pass, and when you ask for more than one, they're like, no, basically.
Can't you just simply say next year that your butler's coming?
My butler.
It's better than saying your neighbour.
This is true. This is very true. We can try. We can but try. And I've actually messed up as well, because I've been expecting confirmation that I can go to Hampton Court again this year, and I can't.
Oh, what a shame.
But hey, Chelsea more than made up for it. And I'm, you know, I've bored you with the photographs and what have you. It was amazing. It was a day like this. I was so lucky, because watching it on the telly when the general public were there, it was peeing it down with rain, wasn't it?
It certainly was. So you got to rub shoulders with some celebrities.
I did.
Are you going to name a few?
Well, surely you've listened to the podcast, Coxie.
Well, I have, but I just thought you might want your moment of glory again.
Well, my new best mate, Nick Grimshaw, you mean?
Oh, Nick.
Anyway, that's all in the past. We're back to the allotments now, and I had a busy weekend. I got my dahlias in this weekend.
Your dahlias in now? How many did you actually get in the ground?
70.
70?
Yeah. And 73, to be precise.
And I know you have a particular liking for a certain variety. Have you gone just for the one variety this year, or have you decided to explore other types?
No, I've got about 7 varieties this year.
Which are?
I've got semi-cactus, so a large semi-cactus, which is a Canora Challenger, which is one of my favourites. Bright white spikes, absolutely glorious. All the way down to the little poms, sort of under 55 mil. So a variety called Willow's Violet I've gone for, which are absolutely beautiful. Just hints of violet colours, and they're really lovely. And everything in between, I've got quite a few sort of what people would call sort of pom-poms, but they're not. The bigger pom-pom, if you like, a ball or a decorative dahlia as well. Yeah, so in 3 of the beds, we've got groups of 5, and 2 of the beds, we've got 10s.
It's going to be beautiful.
I hope so. I hope so.
It's going to be really beautiful.
Well, they've all been slug pelleted.
Have they been cocks protected?
Well, no, probably not. But they have all been pinched out, and that's one thing that I know you always look at me when I'm doing it, going, what the hell's he doing now? And pinching out just encourages side shoots. You want a nice bushy plant rather than one main stem. So when that one stem, you can do it at any point really, but I've done mine at the, so they're 3 leaves up, and I've pinched the tops out. So they're all the same. And what I'll do with a few of the varieties later on in the year is pinch them out again.
Okay, okay. But apart from the slugs,
yep,
you seem to love...
They do. They
do
absolutely love them.
Squirrels and... If we've got any rabbits or anything like that, tend to go for them, or is it really just the slugs?
Just the slugs, really. Nothing else seems to bother them.
And they've been plentiful, haven't they?
Oh, all the wet we've had. We've had a lot of slugs.
Yeah.
Well, we laughed, didn't we? Because when I pulled back the covers the other week to prep the dahlia beds, you could see more slugs than you could soil, couldn't you?
Oh, it's covered.
It was.
Absolutely covered.
But they all went flying.
Did they? Which direction?
Well, I love my neighbour dearly, but he looked lacking in slugs.
I did wonder why some of my cabbages looked a bit weak.
So, Cox, you've been busy as well. What's going on in your plot? You've got every slot filled, should we say.
So every bed, yep, has something in it. Whether it be a range of flowers,
yep,
trying to be a bit more of a design freak than I've been in the past. As you know, normally I just throw seeds into the ground and hope. And if they come up and it's the right colour and it's a good mix, then I'm, you know...
Happy days.
Happy days.
Yeah.
But I've tried to be a bit more artistic
in
terms of the planting of the flowers.
So what colour palette have you gone for?
Purple and white.
Is it?
Yeah, I've gone for purple and white.
I was asking you that to catch you out.
I thought you were, but no, purple and white.
Okay.
And I've also got, in one of the beds, I've mixed it with white, orange and red.
Okay.
Now, I'm not sure red and orange together is going to be the right...
It might be a nice ombre sort of colour, depending how you've planted them.
Could be, but I'm hopeful that there's going to be a bit of colour in your neighbour's plot.
Fantastic. Sounds good, mate. Sounds good. Obviously, I changed up the way I've laid my plot out this year. I've got all the beds finished. They look good, don't they?
They look really good.
Yeah, I'm really pleased, good, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I've been talking about it for 3 years, so it's about time they look good.
Yeah, that's my trick, isn't it? Although 3 years isn't bad. I normally take a lot longer.
Well, your shed's still standing.
Oh, isn't it still standing? Isn't it?
Despite nearly burning down in that hot summer we had, despite nearly falling down in the winds we've had, it's still standing strong, mate. Do you know why it's still standing strong?
No, what have you done?
No, I've not done anything.
What have you been up to?
It's so full of rubbish.
Yeah, to be fair, the fact it's got so much rubbish in there just means that when we have those unfortunate individuals who come hunting for goodies on our plot, they take one look inside my shed and they quickly shut the door and they run away.
Well, it was, well, not funny, but it was funny because we got robbed earlier on in the year, didn't we?
We did.
And they'd obviously been in my shed, which is a little bit neater than yours. And taken some stuff, put it in a bag, got to your shed, and I think they were so horrified, they actually left the bag outside your shed, didn't they?
Didn't they?
Which I thought was hilarious.
Scared them off.
Literally. Looked in Coxie's shed and went, oh my goodness, quick, run.
Oh, so funny. And I also remember, well, it must have been 7 or so years ago, we had a similar situation, and when I opened the shed door, and you were close by, I shouted out, I've been robbed. And you said, well, what have they taken? I said, I don't know, it's all upside down. And you said, no, that's true to form.
Exactly. But, you know, your shed may be a mess, mate, but your plot looks really good and it's got lots of hope this year. And as we say, things are starting to move, aren't they?
They are.
You know, they've been sat in the ground, sweet peas we've already spoken about, but, you know, the plants, I've got a cut flower bed in front of us here, and the plants have just sat there for weeks. And they're just starting to move, which is really encouraging.
Yeah, it's not that they're dying. They're just dormant.
Yeah, it's just cold.
Just cold.
And the ground's so wet, you know, we're planting them in fairly damp ground. Despite as much organic matter as you can throw in these things, you know, the ground has been so wet. You know, and I've already lost one dahlia. I'm not sure what's happened with that. I think it might be ants or something. But one's gone already. But the thing that's starting to shift, which I've really noticed in the last 2 weeks, has been onions. How are your onions looking?
Small. Maybe I bought a miniature.
Maybe you actually bought shallots. You sure you bought onions and not shallots?
Well, I hope so. My Stuttgart.
Your Stuttgarters. Coxie's favourite Stuttgart onions.
Yes, I do like those. But talking about your shallots, isn't it about time you started thinking about taking them out of the ground?
That's right, Coxie. Well done. You do listen.
Now and again.
Well, tradition states that you plant your shallots on the shortest day and harvest them on the longest day. And I was actually looking at them yesterday evening, thinking they need to come up. So I'm about 4 days early, 5 days early, but they're going to come up. They're looking great this year.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Well done, you. You mentioned the longest day. I went to a show not quite as prestigious as Chelsea.
Mm.
Okay, so I won't mention its name because it doesn't quite fit in the same bracket. But in terms of one of the persons I was speaking to at the show said to me that no point sowing after the longest day. That's normally the point at which
right.
you would stop.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
It kind of makes sense.
Just on the fact that it doesn't give you enough time to grow.
It depends what you're sowing, though, doesn't it? If you're sowing sort of radish or lettuce and stuff like that, then just keep sowing, you know? And especially if you're sort of planting in between other crops, sort of slower growing stuff, you know, you can sow a radish crop in between cabbages. The radish will be ready way before the cabbages are ready.
Yeah, I think you make a very fair point. There are still things you can grow all the way
100%.
Through up until the winter time.
100%.
And based on what we heard on the news last week with regards to, was it salad, bowls and so forth,
yeah.
They were having a bit of a problem with E. coli. You know, that prompted me to quickly whip down here
and sow some more,
sow some more seeds.
Yes, Mrs. Cox, you're going to have to wait a few weeks for a lettuce, but they're in. Don't worry.
They're in.
Don't worry.
And as long as I keep them watered, because obviously now, this time of year in the greenhouse, it soon dries out.
Yeah,
so
no,
you
does.
Need to keep them watered.
It does. Absolutely. Well, you were on your travels yesterday. It was Father's Day yesterday, Coxie, and you went over to...
Abbots Langley.
Thank you. I couldn't remember. To interview a very special guest.
Very much so. I needed some of his wisdom, especially in terms of broad beans that have so much black fly on them. You know, I needed to find out what was the best way of getting rid of the black fly.
Well, let's hear from Coxie's dad. Granddad, great-granddad Cox.
Great-granddad Cox.
Great-granddad Cox.
Coxie here. I'm very lucky to be in the presence of someone who many refer to as being a legend on the basis that at 92 he continues to play two rounds of golf a week. He's an avid Watford football supporter who holds a season ticket, and please don't hold that against him, but regularly attends games during the season, and he's a very keen gardener, and for over 66 years has tended to what I can only regard as a massive garden. Great Granddad Cox, welcome to our podcast. How long is your garden?
The length of the garden from the house to the top is 200 foot. I've taken up about 30 feet of that with patio, which does cut down the amount of work I have to do in the garden.
But it's still a very sizeable plot that you've been attending to for many, many years.
That's for sure. Now it's too sizeable to I still persevere as and when the weather is okay.
And today it's still a bit chilly, but at least mid-June we can see a little bit of sunshine and blue sky.
Yes, I thought for a moment we were going to have a nice day. But when the sun goes in, that temperature drops. In fact, I'm surprised that at this time of the year, it feels more like October, November.
And because of that, do you find that many of the vegetables that you're growing at this time, they're not coming on as quickly as you would expect?
Most certainly. You were kind enough to dig my bean trench, which was a great help. And since then, I've planted the beans. They've been in now possibly 3 or 4 weeks. And they are climbing the canes, but nowhere near what I would have expected.
And you're finding that generally with most of your crops at this time?
And the only crop that is really going strongly are the potatoes, which I nowadays plant in pots and bags.
And why do you think this is? Why do you think that things are certainly, at this time of year, taking a lot longer to take off?
Well, I put it down to the temperature, mostly. Perhaps so much rain doesn't help. For instance, I still try to grow carrots, and I say try because I do have problems nowadays growing small seeds, which I will tell you about if you want to know. And to my knowledge, I haven't been up there this morning yet to see. The carrots haven't shown through, and I wonder if seeds rot in the ground.
Now, I'd love to think that's been my experience over the years, because as listeners know, I have great problems growing carrots, and yet carrots are supposed to be one of the easiest things to grow.
Exactly. That's what's so disappointing. In fact, now I keep my crops to a minimum, which you will understand. I always like a nice row of runner beans and potatoes, leeks. Even they are not too good because of certain factors here in the garden, and really that's as far as I go. Oh, and some French beans.
And I can see in the greenhouse you've got lots of tomatoes coming on, so that's something that you tend to grow every year?
Most certainly, but we owe that to my wife, because although she is now 86, she loves growing the tomatoes. In fact, she grows them from seed and ends up giving quite a few plants away. you benefit from that too.
I do indeed, and it's lovely that can still take place. Going back to your run of beans and your trench, because I've admired over the years how you dig quite a deep trench, probably what, end of March into April?
Yes.
And then you tend to fill it with all sorts of things.
Yes, grass cuttings, leaves. I know leaves take longer to disappear in the ground, but to my way of thinking, they still retain the moisture, and that really is what the bean trench is all about.
Keeping the beans keeping the moist. Fascinating. Now, something I do want to ask of you, because I found already this year, after planting my broad beans, that after, about a foot of growth, they've attracted so much fly, horrible fly, black fly. And I know you've got your own method by which you tackle that type of problem.
Yes, it sounds hard work, but it's not as hard as it sounds. I've always thought that spraying the beans or the broad beans, really, you don't get underneath the leaves, and that's where most of the black fly remain. So I've taken to the old method with soap and water. That's the old part. The new part of the method is something I thought about myself. I have an old shaving brush, and I more or less paint on the soap and water straight onto the black fly. It sounds arduous. I think it's well worth it, because black fly is a huge problem for gardens.
And do you find that it not only attacks your beans, but it also attacks other vegetables, or is it mainly the beans that get attacked?
Well, I also find some flowers and roses that get attacked by black fly, if not black fly, then some other pest. So if I saw it, I would try the same method on those flowers.
Excellent. Well, I think that's a tip worthy of consideration, although it does sound as if you need to spend an awful lot of time just sitting down and just working away at it. But you think the rewards are worth it?
Most certainly. I generally have a lovely row of beans, runner beans, and they are my most favourite vegetable.
So what keeps your interest at 92 in gardening? What is it you get from it?
It's amazing how calm you can feel up the top of the garden, listening to the birds, or, in my case, listening to the cricket match, even the football with my radio.
Your trusted radio of many years that just about holds itself together.
It still works. That's the main thing. Like me, it still works.
And I think we call it a radio. It's more like a transistor radio. There's a description from the past.
That certainly is. But it does the job. And if you've got something like that keeping you company, and as you know, I've always been a sportsman, and I've always loved games. And I even forget that I'm doing quite an arduous task sometimes in the garden. That keeps me going.
So many gardeners would say that having produce straight from the garden and on the plate, you can't beat it.
You can't. Even the potatoes, they are so different to the supermarket potatoes. And it makes sense. You dig them when you want them. You pick the beans, and within an hour or so, they're in the pot.
And I can also see in the garden you've got a number of fruit trees.
Oh, yes. I've probably planted too many in some ways, but we grow apples, pears, plums, and regarding the fruit bushes, blackberries, red currants, black currants, and gooseberries. So we do quite nicely for produce from the garden.
Oh, that's great to hear. Great to hear. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us and your experiences and knowledge. We wish you many more years of gardening delight, and thank you. Been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Growing together.
What a lovely chat. Your dad sounded chuffed to bits to be on the podcast.
Yeah, I think he's quite amazed that I've got an interest in gardening, because when I was a teenager, that was the last thing on my mind.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. Well, it sounds like a lovely garden. Massive as well.
It is a massive garden.
Yeah.
And he talks about how he's put some paving stones down, but that's only been in the last 5 years, up until that
time.
So,
hang on a minute. He's 90, how many?
Two.
And he put a patio down...
He didn't.
Ah,
I
was about to do some mental math then.
So for many years, he's done his own pathways, his own patio and so forth. But we were able to persuade him this time that he needed to get some people in from outside, because he's got to that age where really... I don't think he'd have been able to have achieved quite the result that's there now.
Well, my dad is a couple of years younger than yours, but I was up in North Wales visiting my dad a couple of weeks ago, and actually I recorded an interview with him last summer. So it's going to sound a little bit odd, but let's hear from my dad as well.
Yeah.
I've made my way up to Anglesey, home of the famous Medwin Williams, 13 times gold medal winner. But we're not interviewing him today. We're interviewing someone even more special than that. We're interviewing my dad. Good afternoon, Dad.
Good afternoon, Stephen. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thanks. Yeah.
Good. Well, we're sat in what can only be described as a little oasis of flowers, surrounded by all sorts. What are you growing down here, Dad?
Well, this is Liz's patio, really, my late wife's. And she loved her flowers, and I have tried to keep it up. So my favourites are the geraniums.
Yep.
I've been introduced to dahlias by somebody quite close to me. So we've got...
Guilty as charged, Your Honour.
We've got three or four pots of dahlias.
Yep.
And a lot of geraniums around. I've got sunflowers, sweet peas, and then there's fuchsias and sedum in a little bed against the wall to the roadside.
Well, it's a beautiful spot, only being disturbed ever so slightly by the hawks flying back to RAF Valley, which we're not too far away from, are we?
No, we're not too far. Not as hawk flies, anyway.
No, exactly, exactly. So, obviously, this is a beautiful little spot, Dad. What about the rest of the garden? You've got a bit of land here. What sort of other stuff are you growing?
Well, there's 4 acres of land altogether, and down in one of the fields, there's a little veg garden. It's not huge, but down there, I've got it's fruit cage with strawberries and raspberries in it. I've got a little windproof area, which contains all my other dahlias. I think there's 20 plants down there in that one. The other bit's just veg garden. I've got a couple of raised beds because the soil on Anglesey is either very, very rich and very deep or very, very thin and very poor. And unfortunately, patches there, the rock comes very near to the ground. So I've got to make raised beds.
You can grow anything you want on Anglesey as long as it's not deep rooted.
That's right, yeah.
Well, you grow all your you grow your root veg now, don't you, in pots?
I've got my parsnips. I've done it this year in half. Whiskey barrels because of the problem with the stone and the roots getting totally tangled up.
Well, jokingly yesterday evening I said, well, they're not going to be very long, are they, in half barrels? You need to be growing them in full barrels, surely.
Yeah, well, I don't grow for exhibition, I grow to eat.
Fair enough, fair enough. Down in the veg garden, you've also got your, what I call the polytunnel, but it's a Keda.
A Keda house, yeah.
Keda house, isn't it?
It is a polytunnel. It is a polytunnel, but it's built to withstand strong winds. There's a lot of them out in the Hebrides and places like that. And the last polytunnel we had there, in one of the gales, it literally went from being concave to convex. We just bent the frame completely. But this one has stood for 5-6 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
The cladding on it is like a bubble cladding.
Right, okay.
With pre-made, and you stretch it onto it. And it's very, very good. It's not good for tomatoes, because they don't like that sort of environment, but I've got 2 grapevines, courtesy of my son here, on one side, on the rock, literally planted into the rock.
Clinging onto the rock, is it?
Yeah. Just found enough to get the roots into between the rocks. And the other side, I've got a bed of soil, which I've built up with manure and seaweed, which is one of my speciality.
Yep.
Seaweed and comfrey I use a lot of.
Yes. Well, you've got plenty of that. You're only 5 minutes from the beach, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. And in there, I grow a couple of trombas, the tromba d'Arbenga, which is like the Italian style courgette.
Oh, yeah. You had some whoppers of those last year, didn't you?
Well, I've had them 4 or 5 kilos, but I'm trying to keep them smaller now. But on the other side of that, I've got about a dozen bean plants. Well, not even a dozen, I think it's 8.
So go on.
Runner beans.
Obviously, I spoke on our last podcast about the damn deer eating all my beans. So you've got 7 or 8 bean plants.
Bean plants, yeah. In the polytunnel.
In the polytunnel.
Because there's no point trying to put them outside because they just get blown.
They're going to blown over in Anglesey, don't they? Yeah.
I'm picking at the moment off there £5 every week.
£5 a week?
A week, and I've been doing that for the last 4 weeks. And I take them down to the local market on a Thursday and trade them with the veg man on the market for fruit and
fantastic.
Other bits and bobs.
Yeah. I love it. You were sorting out your bacon as well earlier. You make your own bacon.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't exactly plants, but you use that as a currency as well, don't you?
Oh, bacon's a good trading currency, yeah.
Don't bring any money when you come on holiday to Anglesey. Bring runner beans and bacon. But good bacon, though.
Yeah, dry cured bacon.
I mean, do you enjoy the gardening side of things, Dad? Do you find it quite relaxing?
I do enjoy it, yeah. I mean, I used to keep
pedigree sheep, but as I've got older, they've been too strong, too big for me, so they've wrecked both my shoulders in the life, so I've given that up now, and I just do the gardening. And I, to be honest with you, I do get a couple of friends in who do hedge cutting and grass cutting to do the hedges for me, because what takes me all day would take them, it takes them 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and it's worth me doing that.
Well, exactly.
Leads me to do the more interesting things.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Mm. Any shows lined up for your dahlias? Oh, you know, I love a show.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Well, I just don't like to show you up, you know.
Well, there you go. There you go. You heard it here first. I think it's absolutely beautiful here, Dad. You've done a cracking job. I think it's really, really lovely. Nice to spend some time with you in it.
Thank you. Growing
together. Dad, thanks so much for your time, and great-granddad Cox, it was really interesting hearing about your gardening exploits as well. So, Coxie, it's coming up to 6 o'clock on Monday evening. The birds are singing, the sun's shining. You've escaped work early.
I have, for a change.
What are you going to do?
A bit of watering in the greenhouse.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing this time of year. We've been crying out for warmer weather, and then when the warmer weather comes, you know, the greenhouse starts cooking, doesn't it?
It certainly does start cooking. You have to think about leaving the door open. Even overnight, sometimes it's best to have that window, if you've got one, open at all times, just to let there be a constant flow of air going through the greenhouse.
Well, one of the things my dad got me onto, and I've got one at home actually, and I've just put one in at a friend's over at Steep Marsh, is made by a company called Irrigata, okay? And it's a solar-powered pumping system. You need a water butt. And the warmer it gets, the more it pumps. They do a 12-drip system and a 24-drip system. They're not cheap. They're about 60 quid for the 12-drip system. But watering in the greenhouse, sold.
Just think of the payback for that in terms of 60 quid. Yeah, OK, it might sound expensive, but I guess it will last for many years.
Yeah, they're made in England. And, you know, the customer service up there is brilliant. I had a little problem. Phoned them up and they sent me a replacement part literally the next day. They're really good. Well worth looking into.
I think I will. Mm. I'll give it a shot.
I think it cost me a fortune to irrigate the whole of the plot, though.
Probably. But another thing we need to talk about. You know something else that's very dear to my heart every year?
Watford?
No. Yes, they are. But no, not when we're talking about gardening. In terms of, I have a tree just over my shoulder to the right that at this time of year I always take particular interest in. The one that you rescued whilst I was out in the Middle East.
Yes, I can see them from here.
And look at that lovely cherry tree. Cherries everywhere.
It's a miracle, to be fair. Because, how long ago? 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
You were out in the Middle East and we had some storms and the trees were all in leaf and that particular cherry tree looked like it had snapped. But actually there was still some fibres holding the tree together. So I made a splint, didn't I, out of wood.
You did.
And taped it up.
Yeah.
And it's come good.
Yeah. Yeah, and every year we get a crop.
Mm. You get a crop or the blackbirds get
the
crop?
That's the point I was coming to, because this is where I need to seek your advice. I can't believe I'm asking for your advice. What am I going to do this year, different to all the other years, that's going to protect at least one cherry for me to eat?
Well, what you always seem to miss is that moment, don't you? You wait and you wait and you wait, and then it's too late, because you know they're ready when they're all gone. Because the blackbirds will have the lot in one sitting.
And it's literally in 24 hours.
Yeah, they're gone. People think they've been stolen. No, the blackbirds have eaten. The one saving grace, the blackbirds will have a tummy ache for eating so many cherries.
But they share that over my shed.
As long as they don't share it on the car, I can imagine cherry-enriched bird poop is pretty acidic. I think, you know, looking at them from here, you've got some Enviromesh. Get it covered. Why don't we do that this evening?
Good idea. And then pin it down.
It's a two-man job. Cover the tree and then gather it together in the middle so it looks like a big lollipop.
That's a very good idea. We'll give that a go.
Yeah. You had two cherry trees, didn't you?
You know what happened to that one? The second one.
We chopped it down.
We chopped it down.
It got diseased, didn't it?
It got diseased, and I'm not sure if that's because it had an owl protecting it. Do you remember the owl?
Let me give you some context. So this saga of these cherries and other soft fruits on Coxie's plot has been going on for many, many years. And one year he came up with this absolute, and I can see one from here actually, he came up with this absolute brainwave and idea. They're about a foot high, and essentially they're wobbly-headed owls. And Coxie managed to perch one in this cherry tree, in the vain hope of scaring off the blackbirds.
Did it work?
No. He's hung CDs in the tree. He's tried tape. He's tried this. He's tried that. But the best, my favourite, had to be the owl. That was priceless.
I loved it. Just the fact that the owl would bob its head. And the hope was that that would be enough to scare off all other birds.
Nah.
It didn't, did it?
No. I don't think owls predate on blackbirds.
Probably not. Probably not. And have you noticed, the owl now has the audacity to have its back to me as I'm looking at it.
It's laughing at you, mate. Oh, dear. Well, jobs for the rest of this evening. I'm going to do some... Once we've covered the cherry tree, in the vain hope of...
Saving
at least one cherry, I'm going to do some strimming and cut some grass.
What a very good idea.
Yeah.
Now, potatoes, before we move on...
Yes.
In terms of... They do seem to be doing really well this year. Is that just because we're watering them as much as they've been watered?
I think we're not watering them, are we? They've just been watered, haven't they? No, they're looking really healthy. I had a little mooch around in my bags... yesterday, actually, and there's some decent sized potatoes there already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be good for show then.
Hope so.
When do the shows actually start for you?
Well, the first one is the last weekend in July, I think. No, second to last weekend in July, about the 20th of July, which is the Hawkley show. Unfortunately, I think I'm away for it, but. So,
would you like me to dig up some of your produce and take it on your behalf and say it's mine?
No, thank you.
Okay.
But thank you. It's a very, very, kind offer. Thank you, but thank you.
I keep the cups in my own, you know.
Yeah, well, you'd get them engraved.
I would.
Yeah, of course you would. Bless you. But I have to say, a week ago, I didn't think anything's going to be ready the way it just sat there. But
no.
it's all going off, which is great. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, when we come back, we'll be sat in front of lots of flowers and beans to the top of the poles and sunflowers to the top of their poles.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. Now, something else you mentioned to me earlier about a fertiliser, and I think you called it VCAS.
Yeah, no, so onions. I use a fertiliser called Vitax Q4.
That's close.
Vitax? Yeah, Vitax Q4. And it comes in a granular form, and I just give each onion just a little sprinkling and then water that in.
And where do you keep that?
It's a secret.
Always a secret from your neighbour. Yes.
I've told you what I use.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I guess I have to look it up on the internet.
Well, I've got two varieties of onions growing. I've got Toughball.
Toughball?
Toughball, which is a really lovely round onion that goes a lovely sort of dark straw coloured when it's dried and keeps really well, actually, and eats really well, but is literally like the size of a cricket ball. Showstopper. Absolute beauty. And then I've got about a dozen Kelsays as well.
Oh, yes.
The Kelsays were a bit rubbish this year, so I've only got about a dozen of those. One I grew last year was 1.5 kilos, I think it was.
It was massive.
It was huge, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
It was almost the size of a football.
And to think that comes from seed.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Always amazed when I see that, you know, just from seed, get to where it's finished. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think you won a big prize, didn't you, with that one?
Oh, not a big prize, just oversized veg. I just put it in the class, and there's all sorts, you know, there's big tomatoes and this out there. And then there's a football-sized onion. People are like, that's not real. But I only grew one. I didn't manage to grow three. You go to these big shows like Harrogate and stuff like that, and people have grown like nine of the damn things.
Didn't realise you had to put three in.
Yes.
And all of the same sort of size and style and so forth.
Yeah, all got to look the same, same sort of weight, same colours. That's the idea. Showing.
Yeah, that's good. I wish you well this year.
Thank
what about
you.
Your carrots? How are they coming on?
They're looking all right.
Yeah?
Yeah. A bit of a disaster with the long carrots in the big box, but I did a second sowing in one of the barrels, and they're coming good.
Oh, that's great.
So we'll see how they go, actually, because obviously the barrels aren't covered with Enviromesh, so they are uncovered, left susceptible to possible carrot fly. But we shall see.
Let's hope they come off good. As for mine, I'm sure you're inquisitive how mine are faring.
How are your little seed tape carrots getting on, Coxie?
So coming out of the ground, there is or at least a centimetre of foliage appearing.
Excellent. Good.
Yep. And I do need to thin some of them out.
Maybe they're putting all their energy into throwing that lovely long carrots.
You never know. As for, can I tell the difference between those I seeded in a nice little drill compared to those that were on that sort of ticker tape?
Oh, yeah.
I've no idea. I forgot to mark up which was which.
For God's sake. It's like Calamity Gardening with Stephen Coxey. Well, on that note, should we go and rescue the remaining cherries on your tree and get it covered?
What a wonderful idea.
Well, a big thanks to great-granddad Cox and to my dad up in Anglesey. Hope you enjoyed your father's days. Join us next time on Growing Together, where we'll hopefully be back to the three of us, with Anne joining us as well. If you want to get in touch with us, please do so at shineradio.uk. Happy gardening.
Happy gardening. Happy gardening.
Growing Together is new twice a month and supported by DeMello & Company. Financial advice for you, your family and your future. Get the latest editions of Growing Together at any time at shineradio.uk. Songs that shine forever.
I'm so in love with you.
Oh, no, no.
And the brightest tunes of today. Great music and local information. Only from Petersfield's Shine Radio.